Welcome to P2P Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Willie Morales. And on today's show, I have Juan Munoz. He's a rocket scientist turned realtor from HomeSmart Realty Group from Denver. Juan, how are you?
Great. Thanks for having me on. Super excited to be on.
No, listen, it's my pleasure. So Juan, your story is unique, right? You're still in Nassau and you're doing real estate part-time. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. So I'm not working directly as a NASA employee, but yeah, we're like a prime contractor for a project for them to get basically, you know, launch up and service the International Space Station.
So Juan, what was it about real estate that made you, I won't say switch careers, but made, you gave that leap to real estate? What was it about that field?
So really like a couple of things actually. So for me, like, I guess when I got my first house, the transaction, I guess, wasn't ideal, right? And of course, I don't speak bad upon anybody, but I was like, man, like this could have been a lot better, right? And I guess to tell you the truth, I guess that first house, I was just trying to go, you know, below my means, and it wasn't a big house, not too much money, to where I felt like they didn't treat me like somebody else that had money, right? And right. That, like, really stuck with me, you know. And like, you know, I consider myself, of course, smart, book savvy, a savvy person. So you know what, like, I can, you know, I can do this. You know, real estate is not rocket science, right? So
you know, exactly.
And said, like, I can do it, right? And then, you know, of course, it takes a while and all that. That's one of the reasons. Another reason why, is because like I do like a lot of self development and like always trying to do continued education, right? And so for me, I also took these tests, like the DISC profile test, strengths finder test. Anyways, long story short, they're always pointing my strengths being sales and communication, connecting with people. And I'm like, yeah, I'm an engineer, but I'm not your typical engineer where, you know, I'm really out there, social butterfly. I was talking to people and everything. And so for me to feed my strength and what I like to do, which is, you know, connect with people and talk to people, I wanted the real estate side of things, right?
Okay.
I always like looking at homes and everything, looking at things and all that. And so for me, it was like, great, this is a great fit, right? And it's the biggest transaction usually for anybody in their life, right?
Yeah.
Me to take care of them and treat them, you know, with the same respect I would treat a $1 million buyer, house buyer, versus the $100,000, I'll treat it with the same level of respect and professionalism, right? And
yeah.
So, yeah. I really like to do that, learn the ins and outs of everything. As an engineer, that's where I get my analytical side, right? Where I really want to know every part of the transaction and and I keep on learning. I keep on learning because I think it's continuing education is never ending, right? You keep continue to grow. But if you don't, you know, continue to grow, like you'll be left behind, right? So.
Yeah. No, and that's a good point because we always have to constantly self-improve, always read up on the industry, always, I mean, basically just keep up with what's happening around our field of business. So for you, when you decided that you wanted to get into real estate, what was the education that you went through to learn more about real estate, especially on the agent side? You know, you take classes and all that, but did you take classes also for investment side or just basically just on the real estate? Did you do both?
So actually my first, I guess, exposure to real estate was like my friend, like he's a general contractor back in Houston. I'm from Houston, but I've been now in Denver for about five years now. I lived in Seattle for a couple of years too, but anyway, okay. He was in general contractor. I helped him like when there was hail storms, right? And I would knock on doors and get sales for like, you know, roof repairs and stuff. And then after that, I was like, oh man, like he's actually doing pretty well doing this like construction. He, not just roof, he did everything, right?
Right, right.
And then, so I looked into like, he talked about like flipping houses and such and getting rental properties. And I started looking into it. Then I bought this course, you know, of ABC person. And it actually was pretty good. Did a bunch of modules, really into it. And I was about to do like the, you know, either wholesaling or flipping or, you know, rental property. And I have, you know, some rental properties now, but I started looking into that and I did a flip. And let's just say that was an ideal process. And I saw some stuff that I didn't like from the flipping side of things to where I was like, you know what? the real estate, the residential side of things for buyers and sellers, I feel a lot more happy to help people in like their dream transaction, right, of getting a home, like the smile they have on their face and have an ideal transaction, like myself, right, that I could actually make an impact and connect with people on a happy moment, as opposed to a lot of times when you wholesale or fix and flip, it's a bad situation, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it does fit, right? I'm not saying anything bad about that, but sometimes it does fit. If they leave it as is, it might be okay scenario. But a lot of times I found out that, like, man, I could actually really help these guys if they just did a little bit of cosmetic stuff and everything and get that done with, through it for them and then sell it at retail, as opposed to losing a lot, especially when it's a hard situation. And yeah. I guess in a way, like, I really put my all into it. And sometimes, you know, I take it on a personal level when people say, hey, Juan, this is a business. Like, sometimes you have to treat it as a business and not really like put your heart in your sleeve, right? But for me, it kind of maybe, you know, to a fault, to where I put my heart into it and all to it, to where maybe I'm not excelling like some other agents doing 10 deals a month, right? I kind of full time and dedication to my clients because of what I went through before and I heard other people go through before, right? And so.
But you know what? Real estate is a people business anyway. I mean, you can't avoid that. And, you know, and if you're an investor or an agent, the goal is to help somebody, you know, and if you're doing wholesaling and somebody, you know, they can't sell their property, maybe you can help them that way by giving them some fast cash or whatever. But at the same time, you are helping somebody.
Yep,
you know, and if somebody says, oh, it's a business, well, okay, it's a business, but it's also a people business, because you got to deal with, no matter what, agents, realtors, lawyers, whatever it is, it's all a people business. If you don't want to do that, then get into the stock market. This way you pick stocks on yourself and that's by yourself and that's it.
So like I said, like, it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, what I found out is, like, you know, it could work for a lot of people. And they're very thankful. And like, I was going to focus on wholesaling and flipping myself.
Right.
The other route to make more the traditional way of things. And I'm still buying rental properties, right? I'm trying to do one or two a year.
Was real estate a passion all along for you? Was that something that you felt that, obviously, like you said, you know, you went through the agent process, buying and all this, and you said you could do it yourself, but did you feel this was like a natural fit, like you wanted to do this all along, or this came, like, you know, maybe
for me,
not
like,
too long ago? Yeah,
I've always been ambitious, and like my mom always said, like, when I put my mind into it, I always do it, right?
Right.
So I tried different things. I've done like the MLM stuff. I was a licensed financial advisor. I did some product stuff. And like, I guess for the, what I found out on like off of trial and error, right? The best return of investment for my time that I put into something was real estate, right? Right. And then like, of course you read all these books and stuff and they say like, you know, 90 some percent of like the richest people in America at least have a segment of the portfolio is involved in real estate, right?
Yeah.
Then I kept on like reading books, you know, the podcast, like, you know, Bigger Pockets, right? And I looked into some other gurus out there and looked at their stuff, right? And I kind of like, you know, really gravitated towards that. And for me, like, it was just a great match, just because one, it was something that was personal to me, to where like I got affected. Number two, I really feel like I could make an impact on someone's life, on the transaction of their life, right? I like to really make an impact. And then number three, of course, return on time, on investment every time. Seems like you get, you know, financially better from your time you put into it. So
yeah, no, and the deals will get better and better, and the like you said, the returns will get better and better. Right now, with the way before the pandemic, how did you see the Denver market? Did you see it as more of a buyer's market or seller's market, or how do you see that market now? You know, now I guess it's easier because it could be a seller's market, so people can get money. But what do you think overall before COVID hit and after COVID hit?
So even before COVID, so for us, it's usually like April until when school starts, August is when like, that's the market. It's actually funny because as soon as the Denver Broncos actually lose, that's when the market starts ramping up.
So, really? Okay.
Yeah. So, like, you know, like last year they didn't do so well, right?
Right.
And so it started a little bit earlier. It started in March, right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, like, you know, a little bit earlier when they were, like, you know, winning the Super Bowl, like late April, right? You know?
Yeah.
But it kind of starts then, and it's because of the cold, right? I mean, and it doesn't get all that cold in, you know, Denver anyway. But, you know, it kind of follows the national, I guess, wave, right?
Because yeah.
Yeah, and during COVID, things were slowed down, but I was actually busy in those 3 months, you know, people were doing nothing, right? And what is it, March, April, May?
Yeah.
Those are kind of like the main three bad months, right, where everybody was scared. And, you know, I did four, I think, in those 3 months, which is pretty good considering people were, like, worried and not doing anything, right?
Yeah.
But then after that, of course, things just started rocking, right? And just left and right, like sell and buy, and, you know, and the interest rates, as you know. But I would say usually it's April or late March to August, right? But it still goes, you know, after that. But right now, statistically speaking, per a title company that puts out these stats, showings have gone, you know, a lot less now.
Okay. Not
bad, but compared to what it was, right?
Yeah.
And also, what's it called? There's been a lot of price reductions out there, right? A lot of people were like, oh, I want to capitalize on the seller's market. All right. But then it took a little bit longer than, right, if they would have put it up for sale a month and a half, 2 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Now they're kind of waited too long for whatever reason it may be. There's been some price reduction, but people are still buying, right? Still hundreds of people are still moving into Denver. The market's still good here economically. So, you know, and like for me, like in space world, right, there's a lot of space business right now. You know, there's a target to go to Mars, you know, in 2024.
Right. Is that through Tesla, through Elon Musk? Is that his program?
There's a lot of companies competing. You hear about the marketing because Elon Musk is getting about marketing with the
SpaceX,
the Tesla and all that, right? But you know, there's other companies like, you know, Sierra Nevada Corporation, of course, Lockheed's, and there's other like up and
coming
private companies. What NASA is trying to do is get, if they give the money to a big time player like a, you know, whatever, Lockheed or Boeing or SpaceX, right? They
tell you
within this contract, you have to allot a certain amount of budget for these small private firms, right? Because they want to have more competition, get people off the ground, and have smaller private firms also contribute to, right, giving back to Mars, getting back to the moon, right?
Yeah.
Have like a crew, you know, a shuttle or spaceship or capsule up again, right?
Right.
And so, you know,
I'm trying to get that's got to be exciting. I mean, that's got to be exciting that you, with all these. So in NASA, what part, like, it's that who you work for, it's NASA?
No, so Sierra Nevada Corporation,
okay.
Right? And then they're contracted out by NASA.
Gotcha. Right?
And then we are also the subcontractor. So NASA hires, say, whatever, Company X, and Company X hires us for a certain part of it or whatever.
Gotcha.
And I'm on, you know, I'm a lead for 3 different systems within the project, and I'm a lead on this other part, right, of this other project. So I'm trying to, like, not get myself in trouble when talking about the projects, right?
No, I understand.
It's real interesting, right? So, like I was telling you earlier before we got on, my wife, she's an engineer herself, and we actually met in Seattle, both worked for Boeing. I was commercial airplanes before, 787 Dreamliner, she was 777. Anyway, she's gonna kill me if she hears me talking about her, like, in the hush. Like where we work and stuff. So I won't tell you where she presently works because she'd probably get mad at me. Anyway,
sure.
she always supports me, right? She's like, oh, Juan, you're just always out there. I know you're super ambitious. You work hard. You always study. Like, you know, like I even cut cable for a long time because I'm always like trying to like, you know, learn more and do more and all that. But also, of course, I don't sacrifice the family quality of time, right? There has to be on that and everything. But she knows like I'm super ambitious and I go network a lot, right? A lot of my business for real estate wise has been networking, right?
Right.
People know me as my character, my person, like, right? And then, so a lot of it's been referrals, right? I don't do too much marketing. I'm starting to get into a little bit more, right? But I think the engineering side has served me well on the analytical things, but the people side just comes natural to me, right? It's just the communication, the relationships you build, and just like, I'm like, I guess a positive, always positive person and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so I always try to like, you know, my natural talents and then my analytical side is kind of like into one to try to, you know, serve the client. So.
Oh, that's the important thing, is to serve a client. So how do you find time to do both? Like, do you work certain days at the engineer as an engineer and certain days as a realtor? So how do you divide your time? So, and then so you got family time.
Yeah. So for me, like, I try to like, you know, I've built positive habits, I guess, and my schedule, right? So if I try to go like go to the gym, right? I try to wake up 4:30, right? Or something like that. Get the gym out of the way. And then like I try to do like any emails for real estate and stuff all out the, you know, all out the way, maybe a little bit, and then start my engineering stuff, whatever, 6:30 maybe, right? 6:30 and if I don't have anything real estate related, then I'll go to like 5:00. Right?
Gotcha.
Hours, right? And then like, you know, if it had to do 40 hours, then, you know, I try to do the as much of that time. If Monday, Tuesday, I don't have real estate, then I'll do 10, 11 hours or 12 maybe, right? But then if I have real estate stuff, I know that, you know, I'm gonna from 11 to 12. But the thing is, what's worked out so far is that people have jobs, right, that are 9 to 5.
Oh, yeah.
About it, you know, like after work or during my lunchtime. Okay, well, I'll adjust my lunchtime to match theirs at that day, right?
Yeah.
The time it's like after they work, right? And the weekend. So for me, it's like perfect, cool, you know? And there's been times like where, like, you know, people don't even know I have a, you know, work in engineering, right?
Right.
I push them to what, you know, they've been happy. Like I've had like one, you know, one person that they've been, they got happy with everything. They got a 2.5 interest rate. I answer all their questions, first time home buyers and everything. They were actually, they're engineers too, very analytical. And I told them, hey, by the way, do you know also this is not my full time? They're like, what? like you've always answered our questions and all. Like, yeah, I mean, because you're available after work or maybe sometimes you have some during lunch, but I can take off a lunch. I can take a lunch, you know? So it's just time management, right? And like really
put it on
your calendar. And like even right now, like talking to you, right? It's what, 3:00 my time. So for me, like I started early, right? Now I'm gonna work a little bit after, right?
Right.
Like, work at night, work from home. I worked a little bit yesterday, you know, just to make up some time for this week. So a lot, and I always hit my deadlines. I'm like, you know, I'm on the lead for 3 different subsystems within my project and the lead on another part to where like for my systems. To where I know what I need to do and I kind of allot my time and schedule. I always hit my milestones, right?
Yeah.
I have a lot on my plate. I'm used to it by now to where I'm just like checklist, right? Like, here's my thing for the dip today. I got to do this, this, and this. All right, let's just hit it up, right? And start early, get things going, right? So.
Yeah. No, obviously it's working for you. So I just wanted to talk about your mindset when you knew, obviously you were an engineer and then you wanted to get into real estate. You knew you could do this business. What was your mindset like? How did you go through the process in your mind to make this leap? Because I see some people hesitate. They don't want to get out of the box, but it seemed for you, you got out of the box, but you thought it through. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. So the thing is like, since I like to really thoroughly research things, right? And so I did talk to a lot of people, right? So there's one aspect where you say, oh, you have to burn the ship to really succeed and do, you know, real estate full tilt and be successful. Well, no, you still have your financial obligations to your family. You still have bills, you still have things. So it could be scary. So if you took that route, you might have like commission breath, right? Like where you're talking to people and people hate that, right? My advice would say is like, save up at least 6 to 9 months, right, of like all your bills and what you normally spend on groceries and, you know, your leisure time and going out, whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then, but also on top of that, really figure out like what would work, right?
Yeah.
Like, talk to like people that are killing it in the real estate, right? People who have teams, people who are individual agents, right? Talk to your brokerage, interview different brokerages and see what would best fit, right? What what's a day-to-day schedule look like for that person? Do you see yourself being able to do that? Do you have that self-discipline? But you, people like the idea of being a real estate agent, but they think, you know, these fancy cars and money and all. No, it's a grind. It's ups and downs. Yeah. Like for me, like, you know, I'm happy-go-lucky and all that, but like people can be rude. You know, they don't know you. Sometimes they don't know you, and you know, you have all this knowledge and you can really help them and all this, but people don't care, right? Some people don't care. Whether it's because they're, you know, something in their personal life or not, but that's the thing. You have to like disconnect yourself from that and don't blame yourself. You just got to keep on going and growing all that. It's just that anyway, but you really have to research what it entails, who's doing it, try to mimic what they're doing, you know, have coffee with them, try to reach out to people, have lunch with them, and then like really see like, what is this the life that you want, right?
Right.
And like what actual numbers would you have to do? Like they say, like, right, goal setting, right? And work backwards.
Yeah.
Well, I want to do at least 2 a month. Well, what do I have to do, right, to get to that 2 a month and work backwards, right? What then there's like the key performance and the KPIs, right?
Yeah.
How many calls you have to make a day, how many connections you have to make a day, right? And all that. I was actually an individual agent at a certain company. And then I actually joined the team, right? And I learned some stuff from the team as well, what they did, what worked for them. They were a successful team. And some stuff, of course, I didn't agree with them on different things. So, but you know what? This ain't rocket science. I can do it myself. That's the whole rocket science turn realtor, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I did it my own self. And then I started like really connecting people and doing a lot of the things I've been learning all along and all that. And I could say like, if I did it full time, I could do that much better in real estate. But the thing is, like, I enjoy what I'm doing also with the projects I'm on. And it's really cool. And like I did, like I have my, you know, my background is electrical engineering, right? I have a business minor, and then I have my master's in engineering. Then I have a project management professional certification. And then real estate wise, I have negotiation expert certification and seller representative. Anyway, all this stuff, right? And I'm all into it. But it's like, you never know like what could happen, right? Like, and people can get scared, like, well, it's all commission. Like, oh, what if 2008, 2009 happened? Well, you pivot, right? Now you're doing short sell. It's just, you gotta have game plans. You gotta like be prepared. And like, you know, I wouldn't say go all in right away. Just really learn what it entails before you go all in, if you're gonna go all in. Or like do like me, where if your job's flexible enough and then you can let your clients know, like if they're demanding, like say, hey, well, first of all, like I have a job and I probably can't help you, but you can refer out to another agent. You get a certain percentage if you know that's the type of client, right?
Yeah.
And best serve you. So you do best what you can for your client, for that person. So maybe that means you refer them out to someone that is, you know, can handle a demanding person. Or number two, you said like, hey, if you're okay with, you know, me normally getting back to you at lunchtime and that, you know, after 4 o'clock or 4:30, then we're okay, or even before in the morning, right? So you gotta see like what that client needs. And if it's something important, I'll, of course, I don't have to wait till lunch, I don't have to wait till four, right? I'll handle it, right? But if you set the expectation, they kind of know, unless it's an emergency, great, they can wait 3 hours or 4 hours, right? So.
Sure. No, that's a good, I think that's a good indicator of how you could set your business up for anybody else that's looking to do something like this. You know, it's all, like you said, it's all about time management, basically, especially if you have a full-time job or if you don't, but you at least you time manage. Cause a lot, like you said, a lot of people, I was an agent for a while in 2008. Unfortunately, when I started, I think a month or two later, the housing market crashed. So I'm like, wait, great timing, but still it's a lesson learned. So can you tell people what mindset that it's, I know it's hard to predict, but what can you, what's the word I'm looking for? Like for you to, or for someone that's new to getting into the business and they're afraid to make that leap, you know, what can you offer as advice? I should have said it all along.
So I guess really assess what you want, right? Look at your present situation and say, okay, well, am I happy at the job or role that I'm at my present company, right? And you say, you know what, it's manageable, it's okay. Like, I guess, you know, or you say, you know what, I really hate this. What? And so this is one thing I've done before, and I need to, you know, maybe go back to doing it every day like I used to. But ask yourself, look in the mirror and say, what am I doing today to get to where I want to be, right? And then have that checklist, right? And for me, that has been powerful when I first started that transition. Like, don't pout, don't procrastinate. It's like the power of consistency, right?
Mm-hmm.
You consistently have to do something in the morning. For me, like, what actually one of the past teams I was on was like your body acts of tank of gas, right? The first part of it in the morning, it seems like, for me anyway, and most people, I guess, the first part of the morning is the most productive. For me, the most productive days I've had is when I start out with like a 5 a.m. workout, right?
Okay.
And take a shower and then get things going, get a lot of things, you know. But I would say, really assess what you want in life and really assess if you really think you want to do real estate because you hear about other people and all that. No, you got to really talk to people because it's not like they say, what's the statistic out there? Like 87% of realtors don't make it past year two or something like that. I mean,
I thought it was less than that, but you're definitely probably in the ballpark. Yeah, I heard that too. I think it was, and they have the license, they don't use it, or right. It's so like you wasted $300-$400 and you're not using it. Take the leap of faith, or like you know, if you got a full-time job, but maybe you could work part-time on the weekends or after work. It doesn't mean you have to give up your full-time job. You know, I think if people like you work out a schedule, you time manage, you ask yourself, can I do this? Can I set this up? I think anything is possible.
Yeah. And so for me, like since I do work, like, you know, I guess work at a part time, and I say part time, but it's really like times I do work a lot of hours, like maybe it's during lunch or after or on the weekend. And I, you know, and all that. But it also like, you know, I give people, you know, say like help them out with like a rebate part of things to like, you know, that I put in the course of contract and all that to cover for like their inspection or something, you know,
yeah.
That, you know, full-time job. And I make that connection with them and all that. Right. If I it was my full-time job, well, I wouldn't be able to do things like that maybe as much because, well, it's my full-time job now. So I'm really relaxed and all that, but they don't care. I'm doing the job. And they've always like, I've gotten so many referrals because they love what I do from a service standpoint, and I don't feel pressured, right? And I'm answering everything and all that. That's the thing too. You got to think about it. Will you put yourself under pressure and be stressed out? Where if you normally would have been able to enjoy it, but now since you put yourself in that crazy position, maybe you don't enjoy it because now you're relying on it, right?
Right.
So you got to look at it that way too, right? So.
No, I mean, listen, I again, at the end of the day, it's about planning. And if you don't plan on your future or like, I love the to-do list because I started that like 6-7 months ago. And it's a great thing because at least I don't forget anything. I check everything off and just do that. Just have the checklist of what do you want to do during the day. And like you said, you know, you work out, you check your emails. And if you don't have anything to do with engineering, well, at least you could work on real estate. The reason why you're successful because you plan everything, you write everything down, and you think about it. I think a lot of people jump into certain things very impulsive, and then they fall back and they go, oh my God, what did I do? I didn't think about this. What do you think about that?
No, I think it's very powerful to actually write things down. But what, yeah. You have it in your mind, right? People are like, have so many, like my mind runs a lot, right? You know, million miles per second, right? I gotta write it down because like, it's everybody, right? You shift to another focus and all that, right? And the things that maybe like, you know, priority and stuff, and maybe the things that you hate doing, maybe do that first while you're
learning,
where you're like a lot more motivated. If you do things that you hate but that are important to like drive your business up, your, you know, success or whatnot, if you wait till the afternoon, like by that time you're like, oh, whatever, you know, you gotta get it out of the way.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
And I think the power of writing it down, whether it's your to-do list or actually your goals, if you write it down, I think that it makes a big difference. I don't know, there's that psychological brain thing that, you know, I'm sure you read too.
Yeah.
You have to write things down, right? And I think that's actually helped me too. And of course, declare it, you know, to my wife, you know, like, this is why I'm doing this, right? And I even told, like, you know, my daughter, you know, like, hey, you know, I'm doing this. You're staying here with mom this weekend. But I have to go show a house, five houses this weekend. And this is why. But as a, like a treat, I guess what I do is like, hey, every time I get a contract signed, we'll go to, you know, the mall or Target or whatever, you know, and we'll pick out a new outfit and gift for you. You know, it's like a little small family thing to do, like to make it a positive reinforcement every time I do a transaction, as opposed to, oh, daddy's out again this weekend, you know, showing houses or, you know, whatnot, you know. And for me, like, of course, a lot of people are big on the find your why, but, you know, it is a big thing. And I have one coming. So I have a 5-year-old daughter, and then I have a boy come in March of next year.
Oh, well, congratulations.
And so for me, it's like, I want to leave a legacy, right? Because I'm first generation. My parents are both, you know, Mexican-American, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm the oldest of three. And so for me, I've always been like a role model, right? And, you know, I guess I've always been like super ambitious, and I've always been like his that had like that natural born leadership and all that, per all these tests I do, I've done, and like, you know. And so for me, like, I want to leave a legacy and not just, you know, and I guess I had a lot of like expectations, I guess you could say,
as
the first to go to college and all that. But like, you know, my sister went to college and she's a teacher, and my brother, he went to college, he's an engineer, right? He just bought his first house. I was able to help him, and I referred him to a huge friend of mine, and he actually got $12 back at closing.
Nice.
Different things that, you know, work through for him and stuff. So those are the kind of things that like I'm able to do because of real estate. It's the biggest transaction. And for me to help like my brother on his first house, that's what it's about, right? Like,
yeah.
Why I do this, right? And I'll help other people, of course. And I see their smiles and like thanking me and all this and all that, and which is awesome. But to help my own brother that's like 7 years younger than me, get his first house, and it's amazing, right? So.
No, I mean, of course. I mean, you know, your brother's going to be in debt for you, indebted to you now. Just kidding. So, Listen, Juan, I could talk to you for another couple of hours, but before I let you go, any books you recommend, or you know, you definitely have a book in you. I don't know if you wrote your own book, but you definitely have a book in you.
Yeah, so for me, like, it's called, I don't have it right here with me, but it's called Atomic Habits. That one I really like. Basically, you know, the power of like consistency and making habits part of your, you know, day to day, right? Make it a habit. And right. Then what's it called? The one that I just, that's real estate related. So we said that one. But the other one called The Power of Consistency, actually. I did the audio book on that one.
Okay.
Yeah. The Power
of Consistency. Who wrote that one? The Power of Consistency. I like that one.
Let me look at that one real quick. Let's see, on my Amazon Audible here. Hold on. I'm trying to look at my library. Hold on a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I could always look it up and then put it on the show notes. So.
Yeah.
But those are two books. I like the Atomic Habits, which I heard of.
By Weldon Long.
Weldon Long. All right, I'll definitely put that on the show notes.
Yeah, Weldon and then Long.
All right, no, sounds good. Well, one.
I like The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod, too.
Yeah, I had that book. I have yet to read it, though, but The Miracle Morning. Yeah, I heard of that one. So, one, again, first of all, thank you so much for being on P2P Real Estate Show. I really appreciate it. If somebody wanted to get in contact with you, what's the best way?
So actually, my website is www.homesindenvernow.com. So H-O-M-E-S, I-N, Denver, D-E-N-V-E-R, now.com.
Okay.
Website. And so you can get through me through there. That's my contact information. And of course, I have like my Instagram's at Juan Munoz Real Estate. So at JUANMUNOZ Real Estate is my Instagram handle.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely put that on the show notes. Again, Juan, thank you so much for taking time to talk to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate. I really, really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye. Well, everyone, that was Juan Munoz, and you can find him at TFG. juan@gmail.com. That's T as in Tom, F as in Frank, G as in girl, .juan, J-U-A-N, at gmail.com. Juan, thank you so much for being on today's Peer to Peer Real Estate Show. Really appreciate it. You can find me at peertopeerrealestate.com. That's peer2peerrealestate.com. Check out our past shows. Check out our blog. Also, when you get a chance, please go to Apple Podcasts. Please look for us at Peer to Peer Real Estate Podcast. Please subscribe, leave a review. Tell us how we can make this show better. And before I go, guys, there's a couple more things. Do not give up on your dreams. Fight for it. Guard it. Protect it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. And I really believe if you keep the momentum going, good things will happen. Anyway, on behalf of Peer to Peer Real Estate, I'm Willie Morales. Until next time, thanks, everybody. Have a great day, and please stay safe. Bye.